Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
He says if he leaves early, it's a sign that he did not like the message. Okay, maybe he didn't say that. But he's on a time limit, and so if he gets up and walks out, that doesn't mean you can. Hey, we're going to beat everybody to the buffet. Don't worry about it, okay? Turn in your Bibles real quickly to Psalms 100, verse 4. Psalms 100, verse 4. And matter of fact, if you guys could just put that up there. It doesn't take a person with prophetic gift to feel the unction of the Holy Spirit of what he wants to say on the Sunday before Thanksgiving and on the Sunday that our pastor comes back. I think he wants us to understand gratitude. And so I just wanted to share real briefly my misconception of thankfulness and gratitude was it was a response. It was a response to something I'm grateful for, and it can be. I'm so thankful our pastor's back today. That is an emotional response. We all feel it. And I thought it was apropos the song that we were singing as he walks in of God's goodness. You know, just God lines things up. But I want to talk to you real briefly because I think we're going to be, you know, statistics, if they're true at all, they say that some of the heaviest times emotionally people feel is in this season. And I get it. You know, as I get older, I notice around the Thanksgiving table, people that used to be there aren't there anymore. And so there's a heaviness that can come with this holiday season. And something that the Lord impressed upon me, man, it's been 2007. My world was falling apart. I was losing everything. And I was mad at God. I was up here serving and leading worship every other Sunday. Charlie made room for me to be able to lead worship. But I wasn't getting the breakthrough that I felt like I deserved. Can I be honest with you? I just want to be real. God, I'm serving you. And things aren't working out right. What am I doing? And, you know, I got a little bit of an attitude. And God laid it upon my heart through the message of one of my children on a holiday season about Thanksgiving and stuff like that. And so I felt the Lord saying, are you thankful? And this was my response. About what? And so I've been singing a song since a kid in Milledgeville, Georgia, a little four square church there going up. I call it the Oompah songs. I don't know if you guys grew up in charismatic Pentecostal churches in the 70s and 80s, but every song we did, Oompah, 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 in him we live and move. Or I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Well, that song came to my mind as I was complaining before God. And for the first time, I heard what the lyrics were saying. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And then I'll enter his courts with praise. See, I had emphasized he inhabits the praises of his people. And so my emphasis was, I've been praising you. But I'm not getting the benefits of your manifest presence. Why? He says, because you don't have an audience with me. And that hurt. That hurt. Oh, he's there. He was there. He's everywhere, right? But I wasn't experiencing the benefits of his manifest presence because I busted in the courts and said, hallelujah, hallelujah, now where's mine? And the word gates there has to do with authority. Anytime you see gates in the Old Testament especially, it's a prophetic semblance of, okay, I give you authority to enter into this area now. So if I want the authority, if I want the permission of God to be able to enter into his manifest presence so that I can experience the fruit of my praise, I got to go back to where Thank you, Lord. So in my dining room there, as God was teaching me what his words actually meant, I just got impressed because we're losing everything. Cars are being repossessed. House is being foreclosed on. I mean, our lives are in a wreck. And all I see there is a dining room table that I had traded a man 4 years ago for a keyboard or something. And that was a stitch. I said, Lord, I thank you for that table because we got something to eat on. Now, the cupboards are bare. There's no food. And Lord, I thank you for salt shaker and pepper that's on the table because when food gets there, we're going to be able to eat. Lord, I thank you there's still a roof over my house. I thank you for that. And I just started itemizing my life. Lord, thank you. Lord, if it all falls apart today, thank you that I had it up until now. Thank you, Lord. And I want to tell you guys something. On the way to Hickory, North Carolina, because see, for me, God's provision has always come through wisdom. He gives me something that's beyond my education, beyond my intellect, beyond my studies, beyond my credentialing. But he just supernaturally gives me something. That's the only way I've ever been able to do anything because I'm not an educated person. I don't have no degrees. I don't have a diploma. I joke sometimes, I'm smart okay, I guess. I just don't have a piece of paper to prove it. I can't prove I can read, but I can. And I kid you not, on the way to Hickory, the Lord impressed upon my heart that we were to move, go to forsalebyowner.com. I didn't even know that was a website. I called my wife. I said, I really feel like we can't find where we're supposed to go around here, but God said it's there. Just put in a 20-mile radius around our house to the bedrooms that we need for our house. And don't you know the first house that came up on a website I didn't know exist was the house that God opened the door for us to be able to go and move to. That came because of Thanksgiving. So I just want to impress upon you guys this morning that be thankful as a response for the goodness of God in your life, but be intentional when you don't feel thankful, that is a spiritual weapon that is more powerful than anything you have in your arsenal, because what it allows you to do is to experience the promises of his manifest presence, because now he can get to you. Now you have a heart that's open to see. Now you have a heart that's open to experience. I want to give you real quick, and then we're going to get out of here. But I want to give you 12 obstacles that God laid on my heart that, Terry, check yourself before you wreck yourself. If you don't feel thankful, is it one of these 12? Do I have a spirit of entitlement? Do I have a spirit of entitlement? Because 1 Corinthians 4:7 is who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? What do I have in my hand that someone hadn't already given me? I'm owed nothing. Why is that? Because in his manifest presence, it says this in Psalm 16:11, in his presence there's fullness of joy. If I'm struggling with joy, it might be because I'm wrestling with a demon called entitlement. Do I have a negative bias, focusing on what's wrong and ignoring what's right? Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, on these things I meditate. Why is that? Because if I'm struggling with peace, in his presence, you will keep perfect peace for those whose mind are steadfast on you. Am I struggling with comparison with others? It ain't right that Doug Logan's tall, dark, and handsome, and I'm short, fat, and white. To this day, that hadn't been right. Galatians 6:4 says, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. If I'm struggling with comparison to others, what is robbing me in my praise and his manifest presence is his comfort. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it. They are safe and comfortable. Do I struggle with perfectionism? It's hard to be grateful when you're struggling with a spirit of perfectionism. Focusing on flaws, and you're missing the blessings. We have a saying in business, don't make perfect the enemy of good. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect, Terry, when you admit you're weak. And what does that rob me of? Relationships. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit yourself to him and he will make path straight. And I can walk with him in relationship and with others. Lack of awareness. I'm so busy, I'm not aware of what God's doing around me. Do we stay so busy sometimes? I'm telling you, if you're a busy bee, that's great. I know everybody's temperaments are different. That's one of me and Gina's. I am a turtle. I walk like this. And my wife has done four laps around me. So I'm not criticizing you guys that are doers, okay? Don't take it that way. But if my busyness has gotten me to the point I can't stop and see actually what God is doing around me, that becomes an obstacle. I can't be grateful. Number 6, do I have past traumas or emotional pain that I need to deal with? Psalms 147 says this, he heals the broken heart and he binds up their wounds. And if I don't deal with that, it robs me of the growth that I get from his manifest presence. It robs me of growth. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That, when it's in full effect in my life, I'm growing up to be more and more like him. Do I have a fear of being vulnerable? That's an obstacle. Avoiding dependence on God and others. Because Galatians 6:2 says this, carry each other's burdens, and in the way you will fulfill the law of Christ. That keeps us from rest when we can't admit we don't know. Do you have a spirit of self-doubt, self-loathing, and low self-esteem? Because if you do, that's going to make you feel unworthy of the goodness of God that he's trying to get to you. Because every time God, I've dealt with that before. I felt like God, we don't deserve that. God, I don't. And I'm foregoing the very goodness of God that he's trying to put on my life. But here's the real thing that it hurts me from, is it keeps me from accepting, receiving, and benefiting from his forgiveness. If I have a spirit of self-lowliness and self-unworthiness, I'm going to struggle with, well, I can't be forgiven. Look at me. Look at what I've done. If we confess in John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Do I have a spirit of heaviness, depression, and mental health issues that I've not dealt with? Because this right here, the Lord says that he's close to the broken heart and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Why do I need to deal with that? Because when I'm in a depressed state, it's hard for me to be grateful. And if I can't be grateful, I can't get in and benefit from his manifest presence, which one of them is freedom. Because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I am free. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what they call me. I'm not what I used to call myself. But I'm free to be what he's called me to be. But if I am struggling with this thing, this spirit, I have to take it to the cross and let God deal with it. Cynicism. There's a spirit that we have to deal with, because it says this in Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We cannot live in this world today and consume the media that we all consume, I don't care which side of the aisle you're on, and not be tempted to become a cynic. And cynicism will rob us from being able to be grateful. deal with that, because then I can be. Me and Charlie was talking this week about a particular situation we've both been touched by in different times in our life. The same situation, same thing. And I said, honest to Pete, when I confront that situation today from time to time, I know this sounds weird because if I can't divulge, but I said, I literally thank God every time I'm confronted with it. He goes, you got true freedom. I says, well, I didn't realize it until I was talking to you, because honestly, when I'm confronted with it, I said, had that not happened and that God not allowed that, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And I thank God every day that painful, hurtful, I mean, almost killed me situation that we have both had to deal with from time to time happens. And so now when I'm confronted with it, it's like, thank you, Lord. That's where God wants us all, and I need to be that way in every situation. Number 11, hyper-independence, not being able to rely on God. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, but not outside him. What does that rob me of? Having right desires. See, when I'm in his presence, it says this, if I delight myself in him, he will give me the. But if I've got this hyper-independence, I can do it myself. I don't need to be grateful for anything else. I can do it myself. You know what happens? It robs me of right desires. And the caveat to that promise is this, delight yourself in the Lord, and then he will give you the. It's not a blank check that you can forge your own name on in cash, but he signs the check. I'm sorry, Randy, I'm in your way there. And lastly, unmet expectations. I know I'm driving Randy crazy by being down here. Sound man back there, would you stop standing in front of the speakers? Unmet expectations. Disappointment blinds us from what God is actually doing because we put expectations on him and he's not performing right now. But God says this through Paul in Romans 8, 28. And we know all things work together for the good of those who are what? If you're disappointed this morning, if things aren't working out the way that you thought they should, they don't look the same, the right way, it's not the way you envision, let me encourage you, God's not done. You just don't quit in the middle of the story. I mean, we just in chapter whatever. You know, and it's hard. I have to remember that the same, you know, I spoke several years ago about, do we go in cycles or do we go in circles? And, you know, if we don't learn, if Terry Wilson don't learn a lesson, he just goes around in circles until he learns that lesson and God promotes him. That's the way it works, isn't it? But we don't get disappointed if we see the same demon if I'm on a different level. That just means I'm going in cycles. I'll tell you what I had to learn in 2007 about being grateful. I had to face just several months ago. I had to face that. It's like, God, what is going on? Why, I just, you know, I'm not hearing a word from you. Where are you at? You know the way I work. If you don't say and you don't give me an idea, we're toast. We are toast. I literally, my job is, I get paid to literally flesh out what he tells me to do. I don't have a plan for tomorrow. The plan is God. The plan is God. Day by day, every step I take is on the word of what he gives me. And I said, you ain't speaking. He says, you ain't grateful. Yes, sir. Lord, I thank you. And all of a sudden, you know what happened, Mike? Synapses. Ideas. What about that? Have you ever thought about that? I didn't even see it that. And all of a sudden, I can see that spirit that I so depend on by him to guide and to give direction. And so I want to encourage you today, as you go into meeting with family, you're going to be tempted to not be grateful for everything because you're in a mixed company. You're going to be tempted, but I want to tell you, gratitude is not just a response, but it's a predetermined offensive weapon that you can pierce the darkness and experience the manifest presence of him. You'll have an audience with him through your gratitude. Amen? Are we grateful this morning?
Yes.
Are we thankful this morning?
Yes.
Let's stand and pray. Lord, as we about to depart your presence, this place here, but never your presence, we say thank you. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for what you're doing through us and for us. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for his complete and total 100% comeback and healing. Thank you for all that you've done. And thank you for what you're going to continue to do. And thank you for this church, its people, and its heart. In your name we pray. Amen.
I won't keep you long. I don't think I have it in me. You laugh. You scoff. You just got to let the record show he was done before 12. Okay. I do want to, this is a wonderful message and remindful of all the things that stop us from being grateful. And there's a friend of mine that if I start saying things that really doesn't quite line up with God, and or it's a self-pity thing or it's an old me thing or whatever it is, this person will look at me and say, stop it. I mean, won't try to talk me, just stop it. And I'm grateful for that. I really am. And then the Lord reminded me of Psalm 103 that says, what do I do next? You know, he just gave me a long list of things that I prong to, that I can do without being, and stop gratefulness. But 103 says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. So in order to, that's a compilation of things that can hinder it. But the things to stop that is to stop it. Whenever you get this other thing that God's not saying, stop it. And then bless the Lord with all of your soul, all of who you are. Bless him and then forget not any of his benefits. How many of you have got benefits? Rise to your feet. Then just bless the Lord right where you are.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.